Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this evening, and what a great reminder that we are nothing without Him. And I trust that you think of the day you were saved often, and what your life was before salvation, and what it is after. And so praise the Lord for that special, and praise the Lord for the opportunity to gather tonight. It is just a blessing to continue to take those steps of getting back to normal. My wife is very happy today because we got to open the nurseries this morning, and she loves the nurseries. And so praise the Lord for those steps along the way. And again, it's good seeing people assembled in God's house. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2 this evening. Philippians in chapter 2. And as I was praying about what the Lord would have me to preach on, the Lord directed me to this passage. And once you found your place there in Philippians, if you'd stand for the reading of the Bible tonight, if you're able to. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read three verses, verses 13 down through verse 15. And of course, Paul pens this epistle to the church at Philippi. And Paul was imprisoned in Rome, and one of the prison epistles. And he says there in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." I want to preach a message tonight simply titled, "Shining as Lights in Darkness." Shining as lights in darkness. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, we do come before you tonight. We're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to gather tonight in this place. And Lord, we know there are several of our church family that are still watching online, Lord. And I pray that you'd be with them and be with us as we're gathered here tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd knit our hearts together, that your Holy Spirit would move in this place, that you'd use me, Lord, as your preacher tonight to preach the message you've laid on my heart, Lord. And I pray that you'd apply it to all of our hearts and lives as we would have need of, Lord. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. I was struck by that verse 15. Blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And I think about the contrast or the wickedness in our day and age, the world in which we live in. And I wrote this down: against the contrast of the wickedness of this world, as Christian, our lights ought to shine brightly. As we think about this world and all that it has to offer, or the darkness that's a part of this world, or the wickedness of this world, our lights ought to shine brightly for Christ. We've been called to do that. And of course, I remember as a child, you know, whenever we would take vacations or maybe go on road trips with my parents, I always used to like and enjoy traveling in darkness. I enjoyed that, especially as we would come through major cities. And you could see them from afar off. You could see the lights of those cities. And there was something about the lights against the dark sky, how they would illuminate that area. And you could see them from off in a distance. And I often think about the idea of us just living in this world and allowing our lights to shine for Christ. And of course, Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi. And again, as we read these verses and we think about the context of him sitting in a prison and penning these letters and talking about God working in him and through him and talking about doing everything without murmuring and complaining and continuing to let his light shine, it's an awesome picture for us to think about a man sitting there and just writing this in prison. It's an incredible inspiration to all of us. And he encourages this church to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Crooked and perverse. That word crooked, it comes from the Greek word skolios. It means warped. The idea, we understand the scoliosis of the spine, when the curvature of the spine kind of begins to go out of alignment, the idea of a warped mindset. And then he says perverse. We understand that. The idea of being morally corrupt. And as I think about our world today, do we not see that in our world today? The idea of a warped mindset, obviously not the mindset of Christ. The idea of a world which is morally corrupt, morally bankrupt. We've sold all of our morals away, and yet that's the world that we live in. And Paul said, listen, as Christians living in Philippi, you're to shine as lights in the midst of that type of a world. And listen, I want you to understand that Paul wasn't necessarily referring to Philippi as far as just that region. It wasn't as though Philippi was so much worse than every other part of the world. No, Paul was saying, listen, it doesn't matter where you are. You're going to live in the midst of a mindset of a world that, listen, is perverse. It's morally corrupt. It's crooked and perverse. And it's interesting as I read this week and as the Lord began to work in my heart. Isn't it interesting that history always repeats itself? You see, if that in the first century the world was labeled as this way, crooked and perverse, warped mindset, morally corrupt. I would say that in the 21st century, we could call our world that as well. I think if I stood in front of you and the idea to say that modern society could be defined as warped and morally corrupt would be a truthful statement. Quite honestly, listen, it's somewhat head-scratching sometimes just to look around and see the things that are going on, even in a so-called Christian nation of the United States of America. And yet what we're seeing is the world system, the world's mindset. What this world delights in is wickedness in the eyes of an almighty God. I'm reminded of the book of Isaiah when God comes to Isaiah and he says, listen, give this message to my people. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And as I think about the world in which we live, listen, we find that the things that are viewed in the Bible as good, the world calls evil. And on the opposite side of that, we find that the things that are labeled in the Bible as evil, the world calls good. And the truth is, listen, if we'll just live the life that God's called us to live, if we'll just follow the teachings of the Scriptures, if we'll just, when the Holy Spirit prompts our heart to do the things that we ought to do, if we'll just be obedient to these things, we will shine as lights in this world. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be a light. In fact, I want you to go back to Matthew in chapter 5. I want you to see this very quickly. Another familiar passage of Scripture. And of course, as pastor has gone through on Sunday nights, the teachings of Christ, we studied through this passage here and the Sermon on the Mount. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, he says there, ye are the light of the world. Who's he speaking to there? Well, he's speaking to his disciples here in this passage, but we understand the disciples made up the first church. They were that called out assembly. And so Christ, as he speaks to his disciples, he's really speaking to the church here. He says, listen, ye are the light of the world. If the world's going to receive the gospel, it's going to be because of Christians. If the people around you at your work and if your family, if they're going to find Christ, it's because you're going to be a witness. You're going to let your light shine in front of them. And so we see you're a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Understand it, obviously in the first century they would use candles, and when they would light a candle in a room, they wouldn't put something over it to cover it. They wanted that light to shine. So much so, like if you went home tonight and it was dark and you turned on a lamp, you wouldn't put a towel or a blanket over there because it was too bright. No, you turn on a light to give brightness so that it shines. And he says that's what we as Christians are to do. We're to allow our light to shine. And then he says in verse 16, this is the reason behind it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. He says, listen, as Christians, it's not about you. You don't let your light shine so that everyone can say what a good person you are. You let your light shine so that people can see the transformation that has taken place in your life. And when they see that transformation that's taken place in their life, they will glorify God and they'll want to have what you have. And as I look at our world today, who couldn't benefit from Christians simply letting their light shine? Possibly today more than ever before. People looking for answers. Looking for reasons. They'll ask questions like, what do you think about what's going on? Because everyone has questions. And listen, I tell you, it's an incredible time for Christians to let their light shine. And yet, if we're being honest, as we study these passages where we're told to let our light shine and we're told in the midst of darkness to let our light shine, if we're being honest, can I tell you that living in this world as a Christian can be discouraging at times? Sometimes it seems like the world is winning. Sometimes it seems like we as Christians are in the minority, and it seems like those that lie and cheat and steal to get ahead are the ones that are getting ahead, and here I am, I'm just trying to serve the Lord, and in my business, I'm just trying to do the right thing and live with ethics and try to do these things, and yet this person over here, they're using people to get ahead of that, or to get ahead in that company, and sometimes it can get a little bit discouraging until we are reminded that God is in control. And that God has so much more for us. And so as I go through this passage tonight, the thought here is this: how can we shine as lights in darkness? How can we shine as lights in darkness? And I believe Paul mentions a few things in this passage, and I'll go through these things very quickly. First of all, how can we shine as lights in darkness? Well, first of all, we have to have faith that God is always at work in our lives. Have faith that God is always at work in our lives. I love that verse 13. Paul writes this, he says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." It's God that is working in your life through everything that you go through, and he works to work his will in our lives. And he works to bring about his pleasure. One of the great assurances that the Christian has is that God is working in all things. No matter what we go through, God is at work in that. Appreciate so much the message the pastor preached this morning and the idea that, listen, evil exists. And yet God can allow us to go through something for a greater purpose so that God can get the glory. And the truth is, as we go through life, we understand that God is working in all things. Go back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I want you to see this passage. Because again, Paul is writing this passage from prison, and he says this in verse 6, being confident of this very thing. Don't you love how he states that? Listen, you can have confidence in this. You can understand this thought here. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When does God begin his work in our lives? Well, it's on the day of salvation. For me, I remember I was a 14-year-old boy living in Cleveland, Ohio. I was raised in a pastor's home. Had made a profession of faith as just a young child, and yet there I was at 14. I was sitting in a Sunday morning service. I knew I wasn't saved. I'd known for quite some time that I wasn't saved. And I remember the day, that Sunday morning, the conviction came over me, and I realized I had to make a decision. I remember my dad was preaching. I remember right where I was sitting over in this section over there in Cleveland, about halfway back. As soon as the invitation came, I walked forward. My grandfather met me in the front, and he took me to the altar and won me to the Lord that morning. What a powerful time that was, and in which God began that work in my life. And he says here, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When does he complete his work in our life, at least here on this earth? Well, it's when we meet Jesus in heaven. Right. Now, Paul, he looked forward to the rapture, just like every Christian does. Right. He believed the rapture would happen in his lifetime. And you and I ought to live and believe that the rapture is going to happen in our lifetime, so much so that God begins his work at salvation. God finishes his work, at least as far as this earth is concerned, in our lives, when we meet the Lord in the air or when we pass away and we go to heaven. So I want you to understand something. If this is where God's work begins here at salvation, and this is where God's work ends in our lives upon our death or upon the rapture, if that's how the Lord chooses in our lifetimes, then can we understand something? If we're saved tonight and we're alive tonight, we're somewhere in the midst of that, in which God is continuing to work in our lives, in which God, the Bible says, is faithful. He's going to perform that work. That work that he's begun, he'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so listen, sometimes we find ourselves in difficulty. Sometimes we find ourselves in negative circumstances. And yet it's a powerful reminder for us as Christians that God continues to work through those difficulties. God continues to work in my life. And so in every circumstance, whether positive or negative, God is at work. Amen. What a powerful truth that'll allow us to let our lights shine. I find it interesting that those that serve the Lord with joy in their lives, if you look back on their life, you probably wouldn't find that every day was an easy day. Those that truthfully live with joy and they serve the Lord with gladness. Can I tell you, if you look back in their lives, you'd most likely see some valleys that they had to go through. You'd see some difficult circumstances in which God brought them through those things. I'm often reminded of the hymn writer, Fanny Crosby. Wrote some 9,000 hymns, an incredible testimony. As just an infant, Fanny Crosby was taken to a doctor by her parents because she had some sickness, and that doctor really didn't know what he was doing. And he administered some medicine into her eyes that permanently took her eyesight away. Can I tell you, that would have been a negative circumstance. That would have been a difficulty. And yet, being reared in a Christian home there, she would find that God was even working in that. And I love that because Fanny Crosby would pen these words, "This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." How could she let her light shine and write some 9,000 hymns? Some of them they're still discovering today. How could she do that in the midst of difficulty? Well, she realized and knew that God was at work in her life. That God was using those circumstances for His glory. God works in us in our lives. And as Christians, we must never forget that God is always at work in our lives. And so we see here in this passage, how do we shine our lights in this world? Well, we have to remember that God is at work. And then secondly, we must remember to praise God in all things. Knowing He's at work, we must praise Him in the difficult circumstances. We have to praise God in all things. He says there in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Do all things. You realize there's no contingency there for a rough day, for a difficult task. He says, listen, if you're a Christian, you're living in darkness. The world all around you is darkness. You must shine your light. How do you do that? Well, you live with praise on your lips at all times, no matter what you go through. The idea of murmuring and disputing, both of these things have to do with our communication, the things that come out of our mouth. We understand the idea behind murmuring is to complain. To complain about maybe our circumstances or the difficulties. Disputing, it comes from a Greek word, which is the word we get our word dialogue, or a discussion. The idea of two people coming together from different mindsets and sharing their different mindsets and discussing those things with one another and trying to convince one another possibly that their way is the right way of thinking. Listen, if I'm having a conversation with you, we can dialogue. If I'm having a conversation with God, I can't dialogue with Him. Because His way is the right way. His thinking is the right thinking. And He comes to us and He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And the truth is, listen, when God is at work in our lives, we may very well go through difficulty. We may very well find ourselves in difficult circumstances. And as I read verse 14, I find that we have a choice in those difficult circumstances. We can either accept it and rejoice in what God is doing, or we can reject it and complain about it. By the way, when God is at work in our lives, even if we reject His work, we'll still go through the difficult times. We just won't get the benefit of that. But as Christians, as we go through the difficult times, may we understand that there's only one response that enables us to shine our lights for Him. And that's simply to accept what God is doing in our lives and rejoice because we realize that He is at work in our life. I want you to think about where you're at right now. The circumstances that you currently find yourself in, whether it's a job situation that maybe there's some coworkers that are treating you wrongly, or maybe it's a living situation that you find yourself in, or a health situation that you may currently find yourself in. Can we understand that, listen, if God allowed you to be right there right now, God is working through the circumstances of that? And it's our job, listen, to understand and accept what God is doing in our lives and rejoice that He is at work. When I read this passage, I'm reminded of this thought, that complaining comes from a heart of pride. The idea of, I deserve better. Think about that. When we complain, that's what we're saying. And when God allows us to go through difficulty, or when God allows us to go through difficult circumstances, listen, for us to understand that God is at work in our lives, we certainly don't deserve that. If we're saved tonight, we don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve anything good that God is doing in our lives. And so to have God working on our behalf is far greater than we truly deserve. So as we think about that tonight, as we allow our light to shine in this world, we remember, first of all, that God is at work. And then we remember to praise Him in all things. And then finally, here in this passage, when God is working in our lives, as we shine our lights in this world, the final thing I want you to see from this passage is this: have faith to know that God has something better for you. We see that in verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. He labels this world as crooked and perverse. And he says, listen, as you live in this world and as you're around all of these things as Christians, do you realize that you're to be blameless and harmless? The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of this difficulty? And I want you to understand something, that in our flesh, when we're around certain things, when we're around people that are doing wrong to us, we have a defense mechanism that comes up. I mean, we want to fight. We want to, you know, tell someone else what's on our mind, which sometimes isn't the best decision to make. And yet, as we think about what God has called us to be in the midst of this world, to shine our lights, it's a helpful thing to remember that God has something far better than for us than this old world, than popularity and fame in this world. And we must have that mindset. Listen, you ever get mad at this world and you just want to let someone have it? I mean, maybe it's you're watching someone on the news and they're reporting on something and they're taking a spin that you may not agree with, and you just get so mad. Or maybe you have a conversation with a coworker and their thinking is so far away from your mindset, whether it's politics or something else like that, and you say, man, I want to tell them the truth, and I just want to fight with this person. I want to tell them what's on my mind. And yet I have to remember sometimes that there's far more at stake than just this world, that God has so much more for us. I was recently in a conversation with a few people where someone brought up a situation. And they had a family member that had emailed them, and that family member, they had a different political lean than that person did. And they sent him a whole email about who they were going to vote for in this upcoming election, and this is why they were going to vote for. And the question was asked of that person that received that email. They said, well, what was your response? And I remember distinctly what that person said. They said, I didn't get into it with them. They said, because I'm a Christian first. And they said, and I'm trying to win that family member to Christ. And I want to shine my light of Christ with that person. And the truth is, listen, as Christians, can I tell you, there's a temptation sometimes as we live this life to get wrapped up in that which is temporal and forget about that which is eternal. As God has called us to live as lights, listen, understand, I'm not saying don't get out and vote. I'm not saying, you know, there's sometimes that we can't enter into discussions, but can I tell you, it's so easy sometimes for me to trade my passion that I should have for the eternal, for that which is temporal. And sometimes I get so passionate about these things that are here on this earth that, listen, in the grand scheme of eternity, really don't matter that much. And I get so wrapped up in those things, and yet we're reminded, here are some Christians that were living in Philippi. Difficulty all around them. And yet Paul writes to them and says, you're to shine as lights in this world. And we do that by realizing that God is at work in our lives through every circumstance. And when we realize that God is at work in our lives, we can praise God in all things. And then when we realize and praise God in all things, we find out that He has something far better for us. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to finish in this passage, Hebrews chapter 11, this evening. Of course, the book of Hebrews is an incredible book, and chapter 11 has been known as the Hall of Faith. The Old Testament saints and their stories of faith are recorded here in this passage. And we come to verse 13 as it kind of gives a synopsis of those that we've already read. And he says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. The idea of the promises was the Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming to this earth. They died before Jesus came to this earth, and they looked forward to him coming, and they lived their lives as though he was coming, and yet they died before he came, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They realized God has something far better for us in this world. He goes on to say, verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And by the way, that country wasn't a part of this world. That country was a heavenly, and they lived this life with their eyes on what God was going to do and taking them to heaven. And the Bible says in verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. He says, listen, if they lived their lives with a focus on this world and all that this world had to offer them, all that the temporary world had to offer them, they might have had an opportunity to have some of the riches of this world. I think about Moses, who for 40 years lived in the palace. He had all the riches of this world, had the ability to have everything at his beck and call and to live with popularity and wealth and fame, all these things that this world had to offer. But he wasn't focused on those things because he realized God had something far better for him. And he says, listen, they would have had an opportunity to possibly have some of the riches of this world if they would have been focused on that. But verse 16, but now they desire a better country. That is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I love that thought tonight. You know, sometimes we can get discouraged in this world. We can look around and it looks like this world is winning. That as Christians, we're losing ground. And yet I'm reminded often as I read the scriptures that God has something far better for us. And it's our job simply just to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Not simply just the United States of America, but the world in which we live in. And not necessarily the geographic world, but the idea of the world, the mindset of those that oppose God and those that oppose Christ. And yet as Christians tonight, we're called to shine as lights. How can we do that in difficulty? Well, I think Paul gives us these three things. We have to remember that God is working in every situation. Whether difficult, whether the days of blessing, whether trials that we go through, whether tribulations, God is at work. And possibly you're there tonight in the midst of difficulty. How do you shine your light in the midst of difficulty? Well, remember that God is using that for a greater purpose so that he may get the glory out of that. No, God is working. How do we shine his lights in this world? Well, we're also to praise him in all things, no matter what we go through. To have the praise of God on our lips. And listen, as we go through difficulties and we're praising God through those things and we're letting our light shine, can I tell you that will be a testimony to all those that are around you? And then how do we shine his lights for God in this world? Realize that God has something far better for us. Can't get wrapped up in that which is temporal. Can't get wrapped up and have a mindset of this world when we realize all that God has for us as we focus on the fact that we're just pilgrims and strangers in this earth. And so the question is tonight, how bright is your light shining tonight as a Christian? Is your light shining so that others may see God at work in you? Or possibly there's been some discouragement, maybe some difficulty that has maybe caused your light to dim a little bit there. I tell you, as we'll live for Christ, and as we'll just do what he's called us to do, that light ought to shine brightly for him. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. As Christians, we're to shine as lights in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of darkness. By the way, the greater the darkness that's around us, the brighter our light will shine. And I don't know how God may have spoke to your heart tonight, but I want to encourage you tonight to let your light shine. Maybe you find yourself in a difficult situation, whether it's a work situation or, again, a family situation. Maybe you find yourself in a difficult circumstance and you just need the reminder that God is at work in your life. As Christians, we ought to let that light shine every day of our lives. Lord, as we come before you, we're so thankful for who you are. Lord, we're first of all thankful that we have a testimony, that we have a light that can shine in the midst of darkness. And I pray, Lord, that we would resolve today, in the midst of difficulty and darkness, to allow our light to shine even greater than it ever has before. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be the witness wherever we go. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen.